Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right. $25 a month? Every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm Andrew.
And we actually have a special guest that's coming on later in this episode to talk to us a little bit about our topic today. But first, I don't know if I'm breaking this news to anybody. I hope I'm not the first one to tell you guys this. But after 28 years of music, four studio albums, and more impact than we could probably ever measure, Daft Punk has officially broken up. And broken up is a weird, I don't know if broken up, I think they're just done. It's hard to explain what exactly happened, but they published a video on YouTube and confirmed via their publicist that they're finished as Daft Punk. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys know I love Daft Punk. I've got Daft Punk art everywhere. I've listened to their music so much over the years, but they've also had such a tremendous impact on like the use of computers and technology and sample culture and just this whole thing. Like Daft Punk is a lot to the music industry. And I don't know if anyone has a more stainless reputation in music than Daft Punk has built. I feel like we should have like a moment of silence for Daft Punk.
That's fair, yeah.
Is that it? Okay, moment fair of silence thing. For Daft Punk. Shout out to the robots. Shout out to the gold and the silver. Now, we've got a pretty interesting topic, though, to jump into today. And maybe it segues right off of the Daft Punk stuff.
It weirdly segues very well, yeah.
I do have quite a bit of Daft Punk art in both the studio here and at my actual home. And the concept of, like, what art is useful and, like, what to do with art, what constitutes original art worth buying and supporting has been on fire lately with this thing called NFTs.
NFTs.
It's a crypto space.
Non-fungible token.
NFTs.
I feel like everyone has probably seen the term NFT lately. I think it's like in the last week, it's every other post on my Twitter feed. And it's getting really popular for a lot of reasons. I think money is the main thing because money seems to drive all the headlines lately. I know there's obviously all the GameStop information and all that chaoticness that happened that we didn't touch before because we didn't feel like we were very qualified to. But this feels a little more up our alley. The big headlines we've seen recently for NFTs are the original Nyan Cat selling for $100,000.
Wow.
The NBA is now starting to sell these like small highlight videos of like LeBron dunks or Steph Curry 3-point shots. And those are selling for thousands of dollars. And Logan Paul just created his own NFT trading card and he sold a bunch of them for like almost $5 million. So if those are the headlines you've probably seen around, but I think the first thing we kind of need to do is describe what an NFT is in the NFT 100 level course here for everyone before we go deeper into this.
If this was a video podcast, we'd already have the NFT counter going for this episode. it's ticking up there. So here, let's just break it down. What is an NFT? So NFT stands for non-fungible token. It's based on Ethereum. which is one of the largest cryptocurrencies. Fungibility, just so you know what non-fungible token means, fungibility is the ability for a good or asset to be interchanged with other goods or assets. So if something is non-fungible, it cannot be interchangeable. It's unique. It's its own, it's the original. So what we have are unique digital assets. And the fact that it's built on blockchain means that it would be hard to understand if you were just buying and selling a digital file. What you're really doing is buying and selling this idea of the original digital file. And blockchain, the same way it's worked for Bitcoin, the same way it's worked for Ethereum, keeps a log of the owner of that original file based on the token system. So there's a history of ownership. There is only one original, and there is a limited quantity that cannot be multiplied. So that's where this value of NFTs comes from. Mm-hmm. That's why they're suddenly being built on. It seems very sudden, but there's actually a pretty lengthy history to it. And that's why they're in the news, is because this whole crypto concept, I mean, my last video was about Dogecoin. Who would have thought? So there's a lot of it being talked about. There's a lot of word of mouth spreading around. And that's the basic idea of an NFT.
Yeah, I think the easiest way of kind of understanding it is that it's a digital asset. And because of blockchain, you can own the certificate of authenticity pretty much. And like you're certifying that you own this either original copy or part of a limited run or a drop or something like that. So because you are holding that asset, it could increase or decrease in value as it go on, depending on how much people like it. Right now, in the last 2 weeks, everything seems to be increasing. It just seems to be kind of like an insane boom of people purchasing these different assets. And I think that's why it's in the news so wildly right now. Because
you're seeing the craziest numbers the hottest stuff. But who knows if it's a bubble or whatever we're in right now. Yeah, but there's a lot of things that are starting off, gaining a lot of value immediately. And there is no long-term history to any of it for us to look at. Like in 10 years, how much will this Top Shot be where Steph Curry makes his 1,003 of the season or whatever happens? Like, we don't know. We're hoping it can stably appreciate in value like currency, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, and like it's a collection pretty much. Like you are collecting things. Collectibles are something that we shouldn't be unfamiliar with. The fact that it's in a digital world, it feels new, but look at Pokemon cards in the last couple months. Like I threw all of mine away because when we were young, we all thought they were going to be worth something.
No.
And then 10 years later, they're worth absolutely nothing. And now things are skyrocketing. You're seeing Charizard sold for $100,000. You're seeing everything just completely exploding. So I don't know if it's nostalgia. I don't know if it's just the need. It's like a power move of being able to collect things that are super rare, but collectibles have been a part of our world for a long time. And now it's hit the digital market, it seems like. And that's what we've seen the last couple of weeks. Our digital artists, I'm sure, who live this have been seeing this for quite a few months, I believe. And
so the most common question I have gotten about NFTs is, are you going to jump in? Are you going to make one? Are you going to create something? And I'll be honest, in the last couple of weeks when I've just been exploring this exact topic, I haven't really had a good answer because I don't know what makes a good NFT yet. Like I see some really cool art and it makes sense and I don't have that exact talent, but I do see a lot of potential for it. But we did have a really great conversation actually recently with Justin Maller, who's an artist you probably don't realize this, but you've probably seen his art before. It's kind of all over the place in our videos and other tech videos on YouTube. And this conversation to me brought a lot more clarity to that question of, should I be considering making an NFT? Who benefits the most from NFTs? What are they good for? Why should we care at all? So if you've been curious about it, if you've read about it, if you haven't had the time to research what an NFT is or who should care, I think it's a really good conversation to listen to. So we'll go ahead and play that back and then we'll come back and talk about it later. So this is Justin Maller. So first of all, Justin Maller, welcome to Waveform.
Thank you, sir.
For the first time. Glad to have you on.
It's very nice to be here.
Yeah. The funny thing about this collaboration is I feel like people who are listening to this podcast, whether they realize it or not, most of them have probably seen some of your art at some point, probably pretty recently. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. Every now and then I feel like I'm like the most anonymous artist in the world. Like my artist just looks like Google Images made it when you searched for a wallpaper. I'm like, oh, great. But they don't associate that all that stuff was made by one person.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got, so I have one of your facets, let's see, in my house. I actually have two on a wall. There's one on the wall in the studio. I've had plenty of them on as like wallpapers on devices, like over my shoulder in the background, on my phone, things like that. Like they show up everywhere. But for those who are unfamiliar or who just want like the 30,000 feet, who is Justin Maller and what do you do?
Right. Yeah. So I've been making digital art for about 20 years now. I started around 2000, 2001 on DeviantArt, started an art collective called Depthcore, which was pretty big in sort of like the abstract and 3D explosion that happened early on in sort of the community digital art lifespan. And I went on to have a freelance career after that, building on top of that, doing a lot of work, a lot of different clients and what have you over time, which sort of led me eventually to my next project that you just brought up, which was Facets, which was a piece a day for a year, which sort of led to, a second wave of client work and led to me in my current role as chief creative at DeviantArt. That's sort of the journey in 15 seconds of 20 years.
It's a lot. I think so. I remember like discovering Facets when you were in the middle of it because you were like making and releasing new stuff. I think it was every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Every day for a year.
Every day for a year. So that's like a lot of new stuff like happening. And that's somewhere in the middle there is when I found what you were doing. And it was pretty clear like there was a lot of tech involved. Like I think when I describe what I do, it's fair to say there's a lot of tech enabling what I create. And I feel like you're probably in the same boat where not only is it like the tools are digital and the art is digital, but like the medium for sharing and producing and creating everything is digital in this world.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's something that's very shared between your world and mine, is that like, it is a very ephemeral thing. Like the physical meat space doesn't like factor into it all that much. It gets made on computers, it gets shared on computers, it gets consumed on computers. And the people who are into it are connected by computers. So I think there's a lot of like parallels in that digital space between the tech world and the digital art world.
Definitely. So now this thing called NFTs has sort of bubbled up on a timeline. I literally first heard about it. This is the most 2021 sentence I might have ever said. I heard about NFTs in a Clubhouse room when I was just talking to somebody who was getting interviewed about it. And I was asked like, what do you think of it? I had never even heard of it until like 2 weeks ago. And between 2 weeks ago and now, it's become this massively important like movement. It's this new way of sharing. How would you describe NFTs and like what you've seen happen over the last couple of weeks?
It's been crazy. For me, it hasn't been a couple of weeks. Like I've been sort of like with this a little bit longer. Certainly not as long as most. I will agree with the last couple of weeks, it's gone nuts. It's insane to have something that's sort of felt a little bit sort of niche and underground explode into mainstream culture like this, and especially to sort of be riding the wave as it happens. It's a weird experience. But what I would look, you know, I'll assume a fundamental level of NFT knowledge amongst people and just say that what it's essentially facilitating is the buying, owning, and selling, you know, trading of digital goods, which is allowing, you know, especially my medium, digital art, to flourish and be collected in a way that's been reserved previously for fine art. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really exciting thing to watch happen over the last few months, where I'm seeing all of these artists I've known for years and years releasing collections of work that they poured their hearts into and made just for themselves as well, made without, you know, the need to adhere to a client's expectations or even necessarily to a social media audience's expectations, just stuff to express themselves and explore their own imagination very truly. Which is something that's really been lacking in the digital art space. I mean, I know so many creators who like they create and they explore their imagination, sure, but there's always an agenda in mind of how can I sustain my life and my career and whatnot from what I'm creating. And NFTs have just emerged as this wonderful enabling force to give artists license to explore, digital artists specifically, license to explore in this fine art way.
Yeah. It's felt like there's also been like another side of that coin, which is like all the hype around it. Like as soon as, I mean, there's already like crypto hype and like Bitcoin and Ethereum and all the hype around that. But now when you see like, you know, Nyancat, whatever, like art piece selling for like 600 grand, you're like, this is a crazy level that's going to bring people here just for the hype, just for the fact that there's things that are going to blow up and they want to make money from it and invest. Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about ways to avoid that or like take advantage of that hype? How do you think about that?
It's an interesting factor to have in a space like this, for sure. Because things are at a really, really high level right now. And it's one of two situations. Either we're entering a new norm where IP that is like known as well as Nyancat or whatever is truly valued that highly. Or we're going to experience a little bit of volatility where more people come to the market, more content is put into the market, there's more things to be collected and traded by more people with a greater degree of wealth disparity than the crypto hype train, and things will normalize a little bit. So it could go either way. We could be in the new normal already, or what I think is a little more likely is we're going to experience some volatility and have things settle down. But I do think that there's a lot of IP out there that has been undervalued for a long time, and a lot of creativity that has been severely undervalued for a long time that is starting to get its moment and is starting to become properly valued. So I don't know, man, if you can predict which way of those it'll go, please tell me, because there's a, there's a lot of decisions to be made, a lot of money to be made either way that goes. You know?
Yeah, that's always been a question. Like I was talking about NFTs to some Ultimate teammates where we were talking about the NBA, I think it's called Top Shots.
I don't know if I'm getting that right.
So yep. Where you can buy like an NBA moment and there's a limited edition. And my first question was, okay, why would I buy it if number one, it's just it feels like it's just a file. Like, I don't know if I'm really owning the moment or not. Mm-hmm. And number two, how do I know if that moment is later going to be worth more or less? Like, is this free throw that somebody makes or this dunk really going to ever go up in value? And over time, as I follow this, like those have gotten really interesting where number one, maybe you can talk to this better, but owning the original is a concept that is sort of new and unique to this world. And then I feel like I use your Daft Punk facet as like a perfect example of something where future events could cause the value of the original to change.
True. And it's a risk that you're taking anytime you purchase any kind of collectible media now. I mean, you know, the concept of basketball cards probably doesn't blow your mind, even though you know things could go up or down. You buy a Charles Barkley rookie card and Charles comes out and does something ridiculous tomorrow, the value is going to go down. Or he comes out and does something benevolent and kind and it's going to go up. That's the risk with any collectible media, and it's the risk here. And I think that what becomes really important is that if you do enter this space, you buy stuff you believe in. So if you were to enter the digital art, fine art space, perhaps you would buy that Daft Punk piece because you have a personal history with it. And you're also like pretty secure in its history with me as the creator, you as someone who adopted it and gave it a lot of shine, and also Daft Punk being an iconic duo. You're pretty sure that the value is going to sustain in the IP associated with that. If you want to go with something, you know, a little riskier, like if you want to start to get into the Nyancat kind of realm, I don't know how that's going to appreciate or not appreciate. And if you do, then, you know, you bid accordingly. But I think that's the really important thing. You buy what you like and you buy what you believe in from people you believe in. And then you can't go too wrong.
Yeah. And there's a lot of ties into like other worlds. Like when you compare it to actual physical like cards, then it makes a lot more sense. And I think when the question comes up, like, why would I buy this art piece if all I'm going to do is like put it in a frame or something like that, and maybe even just use it as like a digital file when I could just download the digital file? And the question is like, okay, when you think of actual art pieces, there is some value to having the original. It feels different in a digital world. I don't know if there's any easy way to explain that. Like, we all know the original Mona Lisa is worth more than the copies, but like the original NFT, the original digital creation, does sort of have some intrinsic value. It's just hard to explain.
I hear what you're saying. You need to remember that what you're really buying here is not the file. You're not buying an MP4. You're buying the token. You're buying that deed, essentially. That's the way that I like to describe it, is that like if you were buying a Michael Jordan rookie card, you would want that certificate of authenticity, saying that it's real and that it's an authenticated and it's part of the edition that was printed back in 1984, right?
Right.
Similarly, if you buy a house, you want the deed. You want that piece of paper that says, I own the house. And that's what this token is. A token, it certifies authenticity, it certifies ownership, and it contains the entire transaction history where you can see on the blockchain every transaction that has ever happened relating to this item. That's what you're really purchasing, is that deed-related thing less than the file itself. Because we haven't made digital files all of a sudden irreplicable. You can still transmit them as much as you want, but these tokens are limited. They can't be recreated. They can't be reminted. They're done. So that's really what you're investing in. And you're investing in that stake of that piece of IP and its place in the marketplace as this develops throughout the year.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. I saw a really good video. I think Elon actually tweeted it, and it's like an older video, but of like someone explaining Bitcoin, but in like prehistoric terms, where it was like, you see that rock? I own that rock, but like, I can't take it home with me. I can't like bring it somewhere to pay for something with it, but like, I own the rock. Trust me, there's a history of like who's owned that rock in the past. And now the certificate belongs to me, even though I'm not like the only one with a rock. And then this whole like ecosystem of like, I would like to exchange this rock for something else. And now someone else owns the rock and it stays there. I thought the idea, once you're able to explain the concept of the tokens and blockchain and only owning a limited number of things, and that makes a lot more sense for people. Here's my question to you. What makes sense to buy now that might not make sense to invest in now? What do you think is going to appreciate in value if this whole thing stays stable?
I think that what you're entering is a very new marketplace. But I think that what's emerging from it is the part that I'm excited about is not going to shock you, and it's the digital art aspect of it. It's the fact that you're getting these first shows from incredible creators who perhaps if they were working in different mediums would have already been adopted by blue chip galleries and would be blowing up as the next big thing in the traditional fine art world. And now you're able to get in some of the very first shows being held by these people in this brand new crypto space. I mean, it's already happening. If you like, Beeple was selling pieces for $1. A couple of months later, they resold for $1,200. And the other day, they resold for $100,000 thereabouts. Like, it's already happening. That appreciation is already happening as people are pioneering and trying new things in this space. So I think that if you, my strategy, this is what I'm doing. Okay, you do what you want. This is what I'm doing. I am finding artists I believe in who have had great careers, who make beautiful artwork, who are exploring things that I can see are an evolution of work that they've done before with these constraints removed. And I'm confident in their work and the way that it's going to go up. And I also love owning it. I have to be honest, when the concept was introduced to me, I had the same skepticism about collecting a file. I'm like, I can save that file onto my desktop. But the feeling of owning something and having supported that artist and contributed to the value of that intellectual property gives the individual item value to me as a holder, if that makes sense. So that's what I'm doing. I'm buying from artists I believe in. There's a lot of musicians who are entering the space where all of a sudden I can own a song. Incredible.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Buy what you like.
There's a really great artist that I love called Vane Sill, or if you want to type it in text, 20SYL. He's made lots of songs that I've used in videos. He made Ongoing Thing, which is one of my favorite songs ever. And he recently started releasing unreleased tracks as these original files, as NFTs. And to me, this concept of being able to like invest in a creator that you believe in has always evaded me. Like if you ever ask, we had a podcast with Mr. Beast a couple weeks ago, and just the concept of like being able to invest in a YouTube channel you think is going to continue to do great stuff came up, and there's never been any good solution for it. And I now kind of believe this whole NFT thing might have something to it where I can invest in the music that he continues to make, and I think is going to be worth a lot more because I know he's good. I just know it's going to be good.
Hard to go wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's pretty much it. I feel like we've dove into the topic. We gave a shout out to Facets, which is definitely important, but also DeviantArt and everything else that goes with it. Anything else you want to shout out?
No, I'm just very grateful for the space, for the collectors within this space and the belief that's happening. I'm really excited sort of for the future ahead as we bring NFTs to platforms like DeviantArt, as we're able to give art collectives like Depthcore another chance to shine, to have those artists be on the big stage and have their work appreciated and collected. It's just, I'm very grateful for it. And I'm just really hoping that, you know, this does continue, that creators in our digital space are able to continue to be appreciated and have their work collected and grow.
Same. Love it. Justin, thanks for the time and for the explanations.
Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.
So that's been Justin Maller. Again, thanks, shout out to Justin for not only the time on the interview, but just all the amazing art he's made over the years. Like I said at the beginning, you probably have seen his art at some point. Look him up. We'll have a link in the show notes. He's got some incredible talent, and you should definitely be checking it out if you haven't already. That being said, we'll take a quick break, come back, and talk about what we've learned.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for Waveform comes from Coda. So it can be tough to stay organized when your team is spread across time zones. With Coda, you can help keep your whole team on the same page with an all-in-one collaborative workspace that brings together the best of documents, spreadsheets, and apps into one platform. That means less time ping-ponging between different tabs and tools and more time on your projects. So with Coda's extensive planning capabilities, you can stay aligned when managing planning cycles and while measuring objectives and key results. Plus, you can access hundreds of templates and get inspired by others in Coda's gallery. So over 50,000 teams across the world collaborate with Coda, from the New York Times to Square, from Toast to TED and Uber. So if you want a platform that enables and empowers your team to collaborate effectively and focus on shared goals, you can get started with Coda today for free. You can head over to coda.io/wave. So that's Coda, coda.io/wave to get started for free. coda.io/wave.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, welcome back. So, we've learned what NFTs stand for, what they are, what the hype around them is, and then what the truth about them is, I think, in this past like 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think listening to Justin's point of view is what I was really excited about, because the main headlines right now are looking at it as more of like an investment opportunity and like a, I don't want to say quick buck, but like that's what crypto seems to be like, is like I can make some money off of this and it's super volatile. But like seeing the artist's perspective of this and how this is really benefiting digital art, which hasn't had a median like this pretty much ever, was fascinating.
Yeah, I'm with Justin. I really hope that this continues, mm-hmm. and I hope that this isn't some crazy bubble. I mean, we've read infinite hot takes about how Bitcoin's a bubble and it's going to crash, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you've read a million versions of Bitcoin will be worth $1 million per Bitcoin at some point, and it will become this like stable currency that we sort of base all our transactions on. So there's two sides of it. I do hope it lasts. My question is, you know, the clarity of my original like pondering of should we make an MKBHD NFT? What should it be? I think I've gotten some clarity on that. And I think there's a little more of a narrow focus on what that could look like, which is kind of fun. But also, I think my first step is just to like buy a couple, get into it, figure out what it's about.
Definitely get into the market. I mean, like, is there anything you specifically have your eye on right now?
I actually do. Yeah. So Justin was talking about he's going to be getting into it more. And I think getting like one of his pieces, because I know his stuff, it's good. It's good quality. There's no way it's worth
fantastic.
A lot.
There's a reason we chose him to talk to.
Yeah, exactly. So that's got to be up there. I feel like there's some musicians who are diving into this space now. Vane Sill has been doing some unreleased tracks that he's dropping as NFTs, and you can be the owner of the track, and you know that's going to be good stuff because mm-hmm. he only makes gold. So I think just getting into that. Here's a question for you. I have a random hype question. Okay. Maybe this is totally theoretical. But if you could turn anything into an NFT and invest in it now for a gigantic return, what do you think is going to appreciate in value? What would you buy? Would it be a YouTube channel? Would it be a sports moment that you think just happened that's going to be worth more?
It's kind of funny you mentioned that, because not too long ago on Twitter, when Becca from The Verge mentioned she was going to start a vlogging channel, I said if I could invest in any YouTuber right now, I would invest in her channel, because I think it's going to go really well.
Happy Sunday, buds.
If I had to pick something that would like completely blow up,
like 10,000x return, I think you have to have some sort of foresight about something that's going to happen later that will make the thing you just invest in more significant.
There's always that thought, and then there's always the thought of just the pure meme of it. So like, what is the most random thing that has been created recently? Not even recently. Like, what is a staple in internet history? Buying the NFT of the guy at the zoo from YouTube. The original file of the first ever video uploaded to YouTube.
But is YouTube going to be 10,000x bigger to the point where, like, now that you have the first video? Because I was picturing, like, let's say I get Trae Young's first three-pointer. And in a decade in the NBA, he eventually goes on to break Steph's record because Steph's going to pass Ray Allen. He's going to have the most threes in the NBA. But then let's say Trae passes it. He's made the most threes of anyone ever. Then I think at that point, his first three-pointer, which isn't worth much now, is worth a lot more when he's the all-time NBA three-point leader. Does that make sense? I think that could be a version of that.
I think it makes sense, but I don't, in terms of scale. And again, we're on a wildly speculative conversation right here.
This is not financial advice.
But like, so let's imagine it like this. I buy the original video that ever got uploaded to YouTube. So in 50 years from now, if YouTube gets beat and goes down the tube and no one knows about it anymore, and I have the original file from the powerhouse monopoly that YouTube was on online video sharing, I feel like it would be the same as if you were an anthropologist and you dug up some like old Roman coin that is from a civilization that isn't around anymore. You're picking up this original piece of history.
Right.
And I mean, that's museum level. When stuff goes in a museum, you're 10 times.
That is a good, the historical museum element of it. I was also just thinking, as you mentioned that, like what has a human, intrinsic human value? And I think the fact that we just saw Perseverance land on Mars, I feel like it's got to be something around that, like something around the first Martian soil back on Earth. The first Martian soil, because they're going to send another mission to Mars that's going to bring those soil samples that got dug up back to Earth.
That's physical though. That's
it is physical.
Yeah.
If I can just buy the physical thing.
I mean, no, but like if you going back to Perseverance though, like the first photo or like Curiosity's first photos, they NFT that, they mint that. Mm-hmm. That would be a pretty cool piece of history. I mean, there's a lot of different stuff. Look at history. That's thinking all that stuff back. I don't see maybe NASA or
I'd NFT that, first like, contact. First time we find life on Mars, it's gonna happen. NFT the moment.
Okay, let's
is NFT a verb? I'm getting out of control.
I mean, yeah, I'm NFTing things. I've already started posting pictures. I can't wait till I start NFTing pictures of Mac and see where that goes.
I'm investing.
But let's dial this back a bit and just like live in a world right now where the MKBHD channel's creating some NFT assets.
Right.
And like in a serious and artful way. I think one thing that is kind of strange when I'm searching in these marketplaces is there is a lot of absolutely beautiful art. And I've just really enjoyed like going to Super Rare and going to Nifty Gateway and just browsing and like looking at some really, really cool pieces. But there's also a lot of like super meme-y ones that look kind of like just trying to make a quick buck. So I don't know if that's having to do with this volatility and all of it.
Absolutely.
And like, I hope that. I think there's a level of volatility to it, but I also think it's going to even out to not that far under that, and it's going to continue to be something. Just how big is this bubble? I think it'll drop, but I think it'll continue. But anyways, serious MKBHD channel NFT. I think the first thought is like intro shots.
Yeah, if you asked me today, without creating anything new, if I make anything or if we have anything that could be some unique thing that people want to own, it would probably be, some sort of intro shot, some sort of a moment from a video that feels, you know, very unique, very difficult to replicate, and that would be fun to own and people would want to trade and would have some significance to them.
Yeah.
I think intro shots are fun. I think there are just like moments in videos in general that are fun. Like maybe there's an interview moment. You know, maybe there's a snippet of a video. I don't know exactly what it would be, but I think that would be kind of cool. It's just hard to, I would want to make something new for it, I think.
New. It's funny that you say that because then there's also going back to the history debate of it is like the first time you held up the HP Pavilion remote to the camera and like that's a piece of MKBHD history. And you've talked about being able to potentially invest in different YouTube channels. Is this a way that these YouTube channels can start having people invest in them a little more. I mean, Logan Paul made a trading card of him opening more Pokemon cards and sold a bunch of them.
That's hilarious.
As NFTs.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and this is Unlocking Us. In this podcast, we'll explore ideas, stories, experiences, research, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human, from the bravest moments to our most brokenhearted moments. Some episodes will be conversations with the people who are teaching me, challenging me, confusing me, maybe ticking me off a little bit. And some days I'll just talk directly to you about what I'm learning and how it's changing the way I think and feel. The first episodes are out now. We're going to do 3 or 4 part series every quarter, so about 12 to 15 episodes a year. Unlocking Us will always drop on Wednesdays. And now you can find me wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. You can get new episodes as soon as they are published by following Unlocking Us on your favorite podcast app. And as always, stay awkward, brave, and kind.
So that could be a question then. We talked to Mr. Beast not that long ago, and one of the things he always brings up, I think every time we've ever had a conversation, is if we could just invest in YouTube channels directly because we see a potential and because we see that they're going to be valuable and they're going to carve out a niche that we haven't seen before. We want to get in on the ground floor. Like, this is always the lingo about it, but there's never been any way to do that. And maybe, just maybe, this blockchain thing is a way to certify unique ownership of things that we couldn't certify ownership of before. And maybe that's a way to consider building on it. I doubt this is going to be a tomorrow thing, but that's a really fun thing to ponder.
There is, like, just thinking of Logan Paul's cards, like trading cards of YouTube channels, or like, just think of what different collectibles there are. Could we just have someone who's digitally creating like different assets that we have at the MKBHD channel in a digital way? Like, can we have someone 3D render Mia and somebody can own the digital version of Mia or Mac? Can someone own digital Mac?
Whoa.
This just all goes back to Mac. Yeah. Mac's going to make me a ton of money,
Mac's going to be it. Yeah, no, it's hard to say. That's the thing about it being so volatile, is like, you go through and you browse on those sites and you're like, I don't understand why anyone would buy this much. Because Ethereum, like I said, is appreciating in value. And anytime you spend Ethereum, you're losing a lot. And that amount that you just lost will continue to but go up in potential. So you really have to want that thing. So I'm scrolling through and I'm seeing these crazy, like, meme, almost like garbage posts where I'm like, I don't understand. Like, if you start there, you really won't understand if NFTs has any sort of future. But then you see, like, the other half of it, which is like this really new floundering infrastructure of like digital art and selling original moments, where it's much more interesting. And I think that's why I want it to be stable.
I'm kind of interested, like, do you think there's going, as long as this stays stable, there are going to be companies now that are going to create physical ways of displaying your digital collections? Like, how would you, the first thing I thought of is, imagine a frame that would be kind of like a frame TV if you bought something that was animated. And now you can display that, but somewhere in the corner it has like a QR code that shows your blockchain number to prove that this is the original file. And like, are people going to start having this in their house as originals?
That is true.
I think it's interesting to think about and seems really cool.
It is very difficult to prove in a very simple way an ownership of a crypto asset. Like, blockchain makes a lot of sense, and you do definitely prove it through that system, but displaying that blockchain certificate is a different challenge. It's harder.
Like, how can you display it similarly to like a signature on an original painting? Like, bottom corner, something like that. does the frame have something on the side that has a QR code? Like, I just imagine thinking,
because the QR code is so easy to replicate. So it's
the
like
QR code's easy to replicate, but the QR code would send you to the blockchain transaction with your name on it, that would, or your wallet address, but then you have to prove your wallet address, I guess. I don't know. But like, it would send you to just a page that shows the transaction.
Right. I'm saying anyone can put that QR code on their art. Which is,
there you go.
This
yep,
is what
exactly.
makes it.
I mean,
so it's like anyone can make the Mona Lisa, but how do you know which one is the original Mona Lisa? You just have this, or you just know, like you just know. And that's the thing is, we walk into the museum and we assume the one we're looking at is the original, but I've heard all sorts of conspiracies about how it's kept behind some bars and we're looking at a replica. So I don't know. It's probably even harder in the crypto world to prove that you have the original asset and display it. I think it is a pretty intrinsic thing. You have to find a thing you really believe in and that you really want to own, like a baseball card, like a sports moment, like a piece of art, where it's not really as much about displaying that you got the hype new thing and you own it. It's more just about like believing in it.
That you, and you know personally that you do own it. Although you saying that, I just automatically imagined this future where Pawn Stars is trying to verify on the History Channel, where all of them are now 90 years old, trying to verify NFTs in the future. And I cannot wait for that. I'll finally watch Pawn Stars again when that's
Pawn Stars 2051, where they're not going through storage lockers, they're going through crypto wallets.
It's original Justin Mahler. I can prove it.
Crazy. That's crazy town. All right. Well, we've gotten completely off the rails, but I think it was in a good way. I think I think the gears are turning and the NFT hype train has at least clarified itself in my head. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, let's ask on Twitter what kind of MKBHD NFT people would be interested in or not interested at all. And you can just tell us to not even think about it.
Yeah, let us know. That'd be a crazy one. All right, let us know on Twitter. Again, all the show notes will include all the information of stuff we talked about. Justin Mahler's info, again, shout out to him. And of course, all the other links that we've talked about through this episode. But that's been it. Thanks for listening. Catch you guys in the next one.
Waveform was produced by Adam Molina. We are partnered with Studio 71, and our intro-outro music was created by Cameron Barlow.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.